This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/sbfvgs. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 39. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike Crunchy Jams Lopez.
That's so crunchy. My jams.
Yeah, he's got some crunchy jams.
And David Jumpin' Jacks Tate.
Oh, right, because in Destiny, I'm fond of doing the Jumpin' Jacks.
And, Destiny. Yeah. Can you jumping jack there too?
I'm sorry, not Destiny, The Division.
Oh, I was thinking The Division. Yeah. I understand totally. Your confusion because they're the same game. The same exact game.
Yeah, you know, you need to play a little more of the game before you can decide that.
Okay, let's talk about it later. All right,
yeah.
Hey, thanks for the wonderful introduction, Adam Funga Redding.
Funga.
Anyone know that's from? I think
that's
Adam knows.
That's Super Mario RPG, right?
It sure is.
It's been way too long. I don't remember that.
The reason I bring it up is because I've been thinking about buying that game on the virtual console and playing
it
again.
You should. It's a good game.
They just had the 20th anniversary of it, which it blows my mind that it's been 20 years.
I know.
So, yeah, I'm thinking some Super Mario RPGs in order.
Yeah, I think so. The Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover podcast comes to you every fortnight with each of us coming to the table to discuss one burning topic from the world of gaming. But first, what are you guys playing?
I am playing The Division, if that's a surprise to anyone.
Hey-oh.
But
I think we're going to... I've been playing it too, of course.
Yes, and we're going to talk a little bit about... That's
Mike,
my topic.
Mike, you played it a bunch.
I sure did, yeah.
And so, yeah, we're gonna save our Division talk for a little bit later on.
All of it. 100% of it.
Well,
so if you talk about The Division at all, Adam will slap you.
It's true.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay.
It doesn't matter that we're in different cities, different states.
Nope.
I'll find
None
a way.
None of that matters. He'll find a way.
Okay.
All right. Are you guys playing anything else?
Let's see. Am I playing anything else? I have been playing a little bit of Heroes of the Storm. Just a teensy bit.
Of course. It's a given.
Yeah, it's a gibbon.
It's a
monkey.
It's a gibbons.
Sorry, guys, I'm really silly tonight.
I don't know.
That's it. I think the Division is one of those all encompassing games. Mm. So that's pretty much all I have time for.
Yes.
How about you, Mike?
I'm playing Broforce, which is super fun.
Oh, I played a little Broforce.
What do you think?
I think it's pretty fun. It's more fun,
right?
When you're playing with friends.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I kind of wish there was a way to pick your bro, but...
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Have you been Ripley from Alien?
Yep.
That one is... That's pretty epic.
Yeah.
Because they're all dudes, and then all of a sudden you're a girl.
Yeah.
But you
there's,
still
there's
look
other girls
just
in the
like
game
the
too.
Dudes, right?
Well, yeah, and your biceps are just as huge. By the way, did you know if you press R1, you will just flex for a while?
Yes, it's pretty great.
It's amazing.
I've only played a little bit of a demo of that one. I haven't really
We gotta hop in. It's
jumped
got the four
into,
player
yeah.
multiplayer. It'd be a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I also played a little bit of Division.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just a mm-hmm. little bit though.
Five to 6 hours somewhere in there.
Yeah. That's like not even scratching the surface.
Okay, I'm
Mike.
Just saying.
I know.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
and then I. A couple of weeks ago, there was a PSN sale, and the Arkham Knight Season Pass was like $17 or something like that. So I thought,
yes.
You know what? At $17, I'll go ahead and I'll pick it up, and I'll see what's what.
How much is that off the full price?
I haven't looked at what the full price is recently. I thought the price was $40.
Mm-hmm.
It might be 30. I'd have to Google.
So that's more than half off. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though, because if you bought the Ultimate Edition, it was $100.
I think it was $40 for the full season pass, at least, you know, at the time that it came out.
Yeah.
And the content is really a mixed bag. Some of it's pretty good. Some of it's, like, not great at all. I mean, like, some of that content is, like, maybe 10 minutes long for some of those episodes. Like, it's really short.
Man, that's crazy.
So, yeah, I wouldn't really recommend paying full price for it, even if you're a huge Batman fan like myself. However, playing through those episodes that you get and the additional content really kind of rekindled me to go back and get the platinum for that game. So I spent the last week getting all of the trophies, and now all I have to do is beat the game over again on New Game Plus.
Oh.
And I'm good to go.
There you go.
So platinum coming in about a couple of days.
Sweet. Are you gonna write a little something about it for the hunt?
Yes.
Oh, hey.
In fact, now that you have mentioned it, I was supposed to post that this morning and I sure didn't do it. So it will be Friday morning that I will post
So by the time they hear this, it's already
it will exist already.
Okay.
All right.
And it should have existed a day even earlier than that.
Okay. Good times.
If you're somehow listening to this in the past, then you're probably very disappointed by this news.
I think so. So, anything else?
And a little bit of the Drake's Fortune remaster. Platinum running that as well. So
sweet.
Yeah.
So, as you know, I finished The Witness.
Did you, though?
I finished it, and it's... I don't know. Like, maybe I need to change my wallpaper on my computer because it's The Witness, and all it does is it makes me think about wanting to go back and play it more.
Uh-huh.
So I need to move on with my life because I became obsessed with this game. First of all, it's packed end to end with just like game design genius. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just like doing hundreds of line puzzles, which that it certainly is, but like it's really about like figuring out how it affects the world and how the world informs those puzzles. And that's how you figure out a lot of how to solve certain ones. And then on the other side of it, it's just like that sense of discovery or that sense of epiphany, you know, when you figure out like what the rules are for this new type of puzzle. Mm-hmm. And so I started playing through the game and I made a rule for myself, and I recommend that anyone who plays it, does this, and just make yourself a rule that you're not going to cheat on anything that is required to beat the game. Like just make it through on your own wits, because even if you get stuck, like I was stuck on certain puzzles for like a half hour, an hour. You know, like,
jeez.
And I was just sitting there trying it, testing different theories. I mean, and there were certain ones that I came to that I was just like, you know what? There's no way. I have no clue. And I would leave it and come back to it later. And so a lot of times I would have gained knowledge, you know, other places and come back and be able to solve it. So it was really cool in that way. So, I mean, the game, it couldn't have any less story. I was telling Mike, like, so don't play it thinking like, oh, when I get to the end, I'm going to get like a cutscene and it's going to explain everything, all my questions. Like, no. It's all about the journey. It's all about like just playing it and, you know, having those little moments of like, oh my gosh, I'm the most brilliant person. I figured this thing out, you know? You know, so that's what I'd say. Just, you know, if you're going to play it, don't look anything up. I mean, maybe after you finish it once, you can load up your save or whatever and keep going around, finding other stuff if you're still wanting to, and then look that stuff up if you care to. But yeah, just, because you're definitely, it's not like you're shortcutting yourself to the ending that's going to pay something off. You're shortcutting yourself through the best part of the game, which is figuring it out and having that satisfaction. So anyway,
yeah.
I loved it. I became obsessed.
So Adam, my question to you is, but what if you're really, really dumb like me?
Well, I see. I don't find myself to be incredibly intelligent. Uh-huh.
Says so the guy who got straight A's in high school.
But this has more to do with like perseverance and like, actually, you know, I honestly have no idea how long I spent with this game because my phone is chock full of pictures that I snapped of my TV screen. Just so I could like take it on my carpool and sit there with my like phone's photo editing tool and like draw on the picture and like try to figure it out in the like, so I was playing this game as
even
if
when
it
you
had
playing it
exactly. So even if like as if it had a mobile app component to it. And so I probably spent about 25 hours with it, I would guess, in front of the TV, and then Lord knows how many hours just like, you know, just in the car or, you know, wait in a waiting room somewhere or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. All I can say is my wife is very, very glad that it's over now.
Is it?
It is.
But did you solve all of the puzzles?
So there's like, you know, you have to do X amount in order to beat it. And then there's actually like probably 40% more game if you want to keep going that, you know, so that's the awesome thing. Like, even if you can't figure out every single area in the game, you can still finish the game. So that's kind of nice. Like, even if you hit a wall and you're just never going to figure something out, you don't have to cheat. You can just go somewhere else. And then who knows? Like I said, you can come back and finish it. So, but yeah. Anyway, if I have to give it a burrito rating, and I do.
Yes, you are obligated.
I'm going to say 4.5 burritos out of 5.
Wow.
It's really high.
That I loved it.
Super high.
I loved it like crazy. And so the only thing that kept me from giving it a 5 is because I do love story so much. And this was more like a high concept thought experiment kind of a game where it's like, it's just like, it substitutes any kind of traditional narrative with just like that theme of like epiphany and like science versus, you know, spirituality and like these kind of like very lofty themes. And there's, you know, if they had paid it all off in some grandiose ending, then it would have gotten a higher rating from me. But that's the kind of guy I am. I love story. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. So no, I'm totally with you, Adam. In fact, because I see myself as a pretty big dummy, and I prefer story to the thrill of solving puzzles. I probably will never play The Witness, and you know that's part of me is a little bit sad about that because. You know, it kind of looks like it would be fun for a little while, but I just know that I would never beat it. So yeah. I'm just going to sit it out. So that's what I was getting at with that question. Like, what if you're a real big dummy?
Well, yeah, you do have to be a fan of puzzle games because that's absolutely what it is. 100%.
Yeah. Like, you can't be a fan of puzzle games that have story. You just have to be a fan of like straight up puzzle games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So
gotcha.
Anyway, and then I've also been playing The Division. I don't know if you've heard of this game.
Yeah, but we can't talk about it though.
I sure won't talk about it. I refuse.
All right.
So do you guys want to hop into the news?
Oh, the news?
Yes, thank you, sir.
All right.
So Microsoft is taking steps to enable cross-platform play from Xbox to PC, as well as to, quote, other gaming networks. And so when prompted for comment on a possible Xbox Live/PSN love connection, Sony spokesperson said they'd be interested in having the conversation.
Yeah.
So
do you want me to tell you what's going on here?
I'm not optimistic that this will happen.
Oh, no, definitely not. Okay, so Microsoft is like... Guys, we're losing this console generation and our owners don't have as many people to play the multiplayer games with. So it's just going to be a spiral out of control where if it's a multiplayer game, people will just automatically buy it on PS4 because they'll automatically have more people to play it with. We need to do something. And then they're like, well, we're open to the idea of cross-platform play. PlayStation, we know you're selling more consoles than us, but wouldn't you like to lose that advantage? You know?
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like, you know, buying the console where your friends are all playing is a pretty substantial selling point for console makers. So it's definitely an advantage that Sony is very happily exploiting right now. And so Microsoft, it's win-win, right? So Microsoft, they set it up and it works for Xbox to PC, both their environments, you know, and they get to look like the magnanimous gentleman saying, oh, we'll play nice with the competitors.
Well,
and meanwhile, Sony has to look like they're the jerks because they want to keep their competitive edge.
Well, let me just point out that there are PS4 games that let you play with PC players, right. AKA Rocket League.
Yeah.
So
Street Fighter V.
Oh, Street Fighter V. It's another one. Yeah. So... yeah,
and they've done that since the PS3 also.
I think they said since the PS2, actually.
Really?
I don't know what game, though. But
Final Fantasy XI?
Yeah, maybe Final Fantasy XI is the only one I can think of.
I think that might be it.
Because actually, I can remember two online games from the PS2. That one in SOCOM.
So yeah, I think it was Final Fantasy. Or maybe both.
No, I think it was Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I don't think SOCOM ever had a PC release, so...
Yeah, because I remember, David, you brought your MacBook over and fired up Portal 2 on that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was playing on PS3, and we hooked up and did a bunch of the co-op that way. It was super cool.
Yeah, that's back when I lived on the West Coast and could actually, like, see you guys in person.
I know. Those were the days.
Alas.
So, do you remember the game Rhyme?
Nope.
No.
I remember the game Rhyme.
So anyone who remembers the
was
game
it about
Rhyme
rapping
will find yes it's a or it's
poetry
like, it's kind of like
was?
Parappa the
oh,
Rapper.
Okay. All right.
No, it's not at all. Oh. It actually looks a lot like an Eco or Shadow of the Colossus type game. It's got like that dreamy kind of bloom lighting and exploration kind of feel, and it's in development with a studio called Tequila Works, and apparently it was going to be a PlayStation exclusive or a Sony published game, and apparently they have just reacquired the rights to the game, and Sony will no longer be publishing.
Oh boy.
And this was it looked like a really cool game. I've talked to a bunch of people on Twitter about it. Mm-hmm. I was excited for it. It showed really well. Like, I think they last showed it maybe in 2013 at E3 or something like that. We've got little trickles here and there, but nothing really concrete since then. What do you make of it, Mike?
It sounds real bad. I mean, I'm trying to think of another instance in where a company like Sony or Microsoft has had exclusive rights to something and then just handed them back.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, I mean, to me, that sounds like the game must be in really rough shape. And Sony really doesn't want their name that closely attached with it anymore.
You make me sad.
Yeah, it makes me sad. And I don't know. I've been trying to, it's one of those things, because until somebody talks, like, who knows really what's going on?
Yeah.
But I mean, I hear everything from, like, you know, the relationship with Sony just soured and they wanted their rights back. And Sony was like, fine, here's your rights back. And, you know, good luck and best to you. To that the trailer that we saw a couple E3s ago was completely mocked up. And that game doesn't actually exist in that state at all.
Right.
So I don't know where the truth of that is somewhere in the middle. But yeah, it doesn't sound good for that game.
Yeah.
And this is pretty telling, because that game's been in development for at least 3 years, I think.
Wow, that's crazy.
So this is not good news for Rhyme.
Yeah, I'm actually currently trying to find footage of it, and the latest footage I can find is from 2014. So it looks like we haven't seen it in a little while, which is that's kind of interesting.
So what my hope is that the game is actually doing okay, or maybe they just needed more time than Sony's was willing to give them, which doesn't sound like Sony, but
yeah,
I'm hoping that they were able to fix it and make a good game, and then it'll come out everywhere, and then everyone can play it and have a good time.
How many times has Uncharted been delayed now?
Like, twice?
No, I think it's more
at least three times.
Three times. We'll call it three.
Yeah.
So here's the top story of the week, you guys.
Oh, we actually have a top story, huh?
There's a top story.
I feel like it's kind of a big deal.
Sony made an announcement at GDC this past week that the PSVR hardware would release in October of this year, 2016, for $399.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say that 2016 is finally now shaping up to be the year of VR.
It's finally the future. It's the future now.
Because up until now, there was no way I was getting into VR this year. Even though my computer can technically handle both the Oculus and the Vive, I don't want to spend that much money to play VR. So
yeah, we're talking about, for the Vive, double the price.
Yeah.
And for the Oculus, like, you know, a third more, plus 33% of the price.
Yeah.
So
just nuts.
It is. It's crazy.
I mean, they both sold out immediately somehow. I don't understand how that happened either. But anyway, all that said, PSVR is out to drink their milkshake, I think.
I think so. if you look at, like, you know, there's some differences, like the display resolution on the Oculus and the Vive are a little bit higher. So you have, they're 1080 by 1200 per eye.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, so the two screens combined is like 2160 by 1200. And the PSVR is 960 by 1080 per eye. So it's the equivalent of a single 1080p display, 1920 right. by 1080.
Yeah, you'll probably see the pixels, but that's fine. Yeah. Here's the deal. You know, the Oculus and the Vive are like the upper class version of VR.
Yeah.
Whereas the PSVR is like, you know, the one for us petty middle classers. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Who have an extra $400.
This is the one that people are actually going to be able to get.
To afford, yeah.
Assuming Sony can make enough of them, obviously.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think they're going to sell really well. I talking to people on Twitter this past week, it really has been, there's a lot of excitement about that price point. I mean, of course, we would have loved it to be lower.
Yeah.
And of course, that does come with a couple caveats.
Personally, I would only be happier with the price if, go ahead, Adam, if it came with
the camera.
The camera, which mm-hmm. It doesn't.
So
apparently, it requires it. So
yes, it does. So if you don't have the camera, you know, it's an extra $60. I have a camera. So I'm happy about that.
Wait, why do you have a camera?
I don't know. I got it for Christmas, like right after I got my PS4, and I was like, sweet, this is awesome. Like, we played some of like the kids, you know, they loved it for the motion kind of like playroom games. And you know, aside from that, I haven't used the camera much except for to like log into my PS4. Because what it does is it does facial recognition and it sees your controller in your hand. And it's like, oh, this guy wants to play a game, and it logs you into your account.
I didn't even know that was the thing.
Yeah, so it does that, and it's got the microphone so you can chat, you know, directly through the camera if you want instead mm-hmm. of having a headset in. So there's always that, but yeah, it's actually going to pay off now because PlayStation VR.
Yeah,
so that's pretty sweet.
You are ahead of the game, my friend.
Indeed. And now I only wish, because on the PS3 era, I came like so close to buying PS Move controllers.
Oh,
because I wanted to play the Sports Champions game.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up not doing it. Thank you, Mike, for talking me out of that.
Yeah. In hindsight, kidding.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, so no, I think it was one of our conversations where you were just like, you know, I'm not getting it, and here's why. And I was like, he's right. I'd be a fool.
He usually is.
He's usually a fool.
He usually is, he says of himself.
Well, I mean, like, the camera is a factor, but I want to say a while back, and I don't think this was me exclusively. I think as a group, I think Adam, you might have been the one that predicted the exact price. I'd have to go back and listen to our previous episodes, which I won't do.
I think we were chatting about it like 2-3 episodes back, and I said I think it was going to be $399 because of that comment that it was going to be the price of a console, mm-hmm. and so yeah, I was tickled pink. When it was $399.
And one thing, why not?
Tickled till my flesh turns pink. I don't know what that saying means.
Maybe your cheeks turn rosy because you're laughing. You know,
because of all the giggles. Yeah,
yeah. There you go.
That's probably it.
It's a very manly saying.
Yeah.
So pre-orders are not available for this yet. Which
they are in England.
Yeah, in England, which is weird, right?
Friend of the show, Tom Titus Hughes, has already pre-ordered. He's ready to go.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's just like an Amazon thing or...
Maybe they were like trying to gauge demand.
Maybe.
And like know how much they need to like, ramp up manufacture.
And you know, I assume that if you were to stop into a GameStop today, they would probably take your pre-order because that's just what they'll
true.
Do.
I'm pre-ordering.
Like, you want to... GameStop's like, you want to pre-order PS5? I'll take your money.
I'll take your money. Sure.
I want all your money. Can I just have all your money?
And do you want a strategy guide? You're going to need a strategy guide for that PS5.
But it makes me wonder if the closer we get to the date and they actually start, you know, legitimate pre-orders get announced, if there'll be a version of this that's bundled with the camera for maybe a little cheaper than the regular price of the camera, which is what, $40?
Maybe. I'm guessing it'll be... Go ahead.
Yeah, it's $60, so I'm assuming if they do a bundle, it'll probably $450. Yeah. They'll probably knock $10 off the camera and say, sometimes you can get the whole thing for $450. Yeah, that's true.
So what if... Okay, this is like a horrible scenario, but what if the PSVR gets closer...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, what if the PSVR gets closer to release... And they're like, oh, sorry, guys. You know what? We forgot to tell you this. The old PS4 camera wasn't high enough resolution for our tracking.
You got to get another new.
You're going to have to get a new webcam, too. That would, like, I think that would immediately remove all interest in the
audience. Everyone would be so mad because that's like you take all the goodwill out of your audience.
Yep.
One thing I'm worried about, though, is PlayStation Move controllers skyrocketing in price. Because right now, you can get one for, like, $25.
Mm-hmm. We were kind of talking about that today, about maybe buying some right now.
I was like, you know, I better buy them now before the demand ramps up and they get wise. They start charging, like, $40 for them again.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm probably going to get the webcam and the controllers way before October.
That
just,
doesn't hurt.
Just to get ready, you know.
And then, you know, you can play Sports Friends, so.
Yeah, maybe I won't, but.
Sports Friends is awesome.
Sports Friends is fun.
Okay, so, and here's another thing with VR. I know, okay, so I was watching a guy was playing Minecraft in VR, and he posted it to YouTube. I think it was on Kotaku's YouTube channel. Wow.
Yeah, I read about this, but I didn't see the video. So what was it?
And he was, or was it? No, it was Polygon. It was Polygon. Sorry. I just want to make sure I get my sources right.
Yes.
So there's two modes. There's the mode where you're like sitting on a couch in Minecraft and then you're looking at Minecraft on the TV, which is interesting. Like he's sitting, so he's basically like sitting in a like little Minecraft house and then playing the game on a giant TV in front of him. Mm-hmm. So there's that mode. And then he could push a button and the game world would like envelop him. And he could like be moving around, so his left stick would be like walking around.
And then, man, he was like in the mind, man.
That's right. He was like totally in the mind, and his mind was blown. But no, so he said, you know, hey, this looks really cool on video, but let me just tell you, every time I was walking, I was on the verge of throwing up.
Oh no!
Yeah. And he pointed out he's not the kind of guy that gets motion sick,
right?
Like ever for anything. And whenever he used the left stick and he was like moving around, like, you know, in Z space, mm-hmm. he was like feeling completely queasy the whole time.
Oh,
and then as soon as he would stop, he would feel fine again.
Do you recall which headset he was using?
I think it might've been an Oculus.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
it was a Microsoft demo.
Minecraft, to be fair, is not built for VR. It's got that crazy bouncing as you walk.
Well,
you know?
No, that was turned off though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, because I would imagine that would make me barf too.
Yeah. No. So this is a thing. In most first-person games, in general, you are moving like 30 miles per hour. Like they're like humans don't go that fast ever. So games that let you go that fast, which is basically all first-person games. Will make you feel sick. And I didn't believe this. I didn't want to believe this. Actually, friend of the show, Nicholas Wagner, was telling me about this. And I'm like, maybe it'll make some people feel sick, but not me. I never feel sick, ever. You know? And then this guy just confirmed my suspicion, or confirmed what Nick told me, which I should have just believed him in the first place. Sorry, Nick. But
David's been calling you a liar on the show, left, right, and center.
No, I never said that on the show.
Said, Nick's
I called
a
him a liar to his
liar.
Face.
Okay, well, that's good.
Anyway, so he said he was the only reason he was walking around so much was to try to like push through it, and he never did. So that's a bummer. And that like makes me really sad, because what I want from VR is to sit on a couch and like move my head around a little bit, and like I'm just in a world. You know, moving,
in
you know,
a
use
world.
Left stick to, in a world where you can sit on the couch, but walk around. That's like the dream, right? Like to just sit down, but be walking around.
That's the dream.
So it just makes me sad that it seems like the most incredible, like the most immersive and least queasy inducing is are the ones where you, when you move in real life, you move in the game. So like there's a Portal. Is it Portal? I think it's Portal. There's a Portal demo that Valve made, which they made a game, like,
yeah.
sort of.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
They kind of sort of made something.
Yeah. And that uses the Vive, where that's like a room tracking, you know, technology. And mm-hmm. so, like, the person, like, walks around in a real space mm-hmm. and, you know, interacts with things. And that looked really fun. I watched the entire demo, like, someone else playing it. And, I mean, I would totally play that. But the bummer is I'm going to have to be like up and moving around. And also my living room isn't very big, so I may not be able to ever do that, you know, in my own place.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a bummer to me that it seems like the best VR is the standing up and moving around VR.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
I'm really excited about the PSVR, guys.
Yeah. No, on that exact note, though, I don't want to talk for VR for too much longer for everyone that's not that interested in it. So I'm not boring
them
to death.
But why, guys? Why are you not interested?
I don't know.
I think that everyone not interested is just like maybe they get motion sick. Maybe
see,
that's
I'm interested, but I'm a wait and see kind of guy.
Yeah,
what? which is easy for me because
have
Adam's going to buy it regardless,
dreamed?
So I can just play it at his house.
Yeah,
I have not always dreamed of VR.
What?
Ever since that virtual boy,
it scarred me, and by me I mean like my retinas, like they're scarred. No, but kind of on the mention of like, you know, moving around, something like the Vive kind of being perhaps one of the best ways to experience VR.
Yes.
I don't have the article in front of me, but I saw Polygon put an article today saying that the PlayStation VR actually does support like room scale experiences where you move around. And so potentially some of these high end experiences that you were seeing like advertised for the Vive could potentially be ported over for PlayStation VR, which would be pretty
cool. They could be, except that the PS4's hardware is way more limited than the PCs that are minimally required to run VR. Like, both the Vive and the Oculus require super beefy computers to run. And, like, super beefy computers are, like, twice as powerful as the PS4. So, PS4 VR is going to be really fun, but it's not going to be super photorealistic. So that's an expectation that should be tempered.
Yeah,
I think that's fair
because you have the processing box is not going to add any processing or the video, you know, whatever it is, the box that's attached to your VR goggles, it doesn't handle, extra processing power, you know, for the PS4. So you're relying on that same hardware, but now you're rendering it twice, mm-hmm. and you are rendering
it at a much higher frame rate.
Yeah, 90 to 120 frames per second. So, yeah, I mean, usually that is all directly going to correspond with losing detail in the mm-hmm. environment. So,
in fact, Sony came out today. Today is Thursday. What is the date?
St. Patrick's
March
18th. St. Patrick's Day.
They came out and said that we will not approve any game that runs lower than 60 frames per second.
Oh, yeah, that was like their senior staff engineer, Chris Norton.
Yeah, so yeah, anyway, the games are going to be, they're not even going to look as good as like, you know, single screen games that you play on your TV even. So
but the cool thing is it's that these experiences will be built, you know, directly for that device, you know, for a VR experience, you know, not for like just any old game is going to run in this thing, even though that's possible. Like you said, with the Minecraft thing where you're sitting in a virtual room and there's this massive TV in front of you.
Yeah. Well, there is that mode that you'll be able to play every PS4 game, like basically in like a theater mode.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Like, especially because, you know, that would be an alternative to remote play in a certain fashion. Like if someone wanted to use the TV, you could use the PSVR as like a virtual.
What? I hadn't even considered that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And you don't have to play, you know, you'd have all your buttons, you know, it wouldn't be like, you know, remote play on the Vita. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Sold.
So this leads us right into our community question.
Oh, right.
The Twitter questions. So I put it out there on the tweets. It said, PSVR's $399 price tag, worth it or no? And so the overwhelming majority, I would say it's 63% said it was worth it. They're in at that price. And then, you know, 37 said no. So, you know, it's a little bit better than a 60-40 split in favor. Yeah. So that's pretty good numbers considering how big, how massive our audience is. And then
our you know, it's almost every PS4 owner,
almost
right?
all of them. So, anyway, so yeah, that I found that pretty interesting. That's pretty cool. I think for the most part, people are pretty pleased about that price, especially given
pleased as punch.
It's just like what happened with the Xbox One when they announced that price and then PS4 came in under it. You know, it's like it just instantly wins a lot of goodwill that you're going to get a comparable device, if not a superior device in the case of PS4, hardware wise, at least, you know, at a lower price. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And so Brad B says, I really can't say anything on the PSVR price. He says, to me, it depends if the experience delivers or if it is another Kinect flop.
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Burn, you guys. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kimmy D says, since I can actually afford $399, I'm going to say worth it.
All right.
Yeah. That's it, you know, right on the money there. Right on the money. Philippe, good pal Philippe. He says, good pal. Still expensive for most people, but it's new tech, cheaper than the other VR headsets and aimed at console owners. Good price.
Nice.
And then good old Ramon.
Good old Ramon.
Good old Ramon. He says, VR hype equals 1 out of 5 burritos.
Well, you know what? Sounds like somebody has motion sickness.
He said, okay, so he didn't stop there. VR hype equals 1 out of 5 burritos only if that one burrito had been sitting out in the sun all day had been regurgitated by a rabid dog.
Yeah, he definitely has motion sickness.
So, all right, our first official Twitter question of the evening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Comes from our pal Casey. He says,
good old Casey.
Yeah. If you could reward or punish the other super best friends by forcing them to play a game, what would it be?
My answer for Mike is Final Fantasy VII.
I've been playing it. It's just not very good. So I'm gonna take that as a punishment.
Yeah.
And that's your reward, Mike.
I don't think it is.
Guys, what would you make me play?
Okay, so as a punishment, I'd make David play indie hit Hotline Miami.
That's a reward right there.
And then he'd slowly realize over the course of his punishment that it was actually a reward and that he loves it in all indie games.
I played like 5 minutes of that game and got so bored.
No.
Oh my gosh, impossible.
You're going to love it. And for you, Mike, I'd say for the reward, you get to play Chrono Trigger.
Okay. You know? I mean, yeah.
Wait, there's no reward. Oh, it is. There is a reward one too, isn't there?
Yeah.
It could be. So that's your reward for your punishment, Mike. You must play the Devil May Cry reboot.
Oh, no.
That's so good.
And you cannot skip cutscenes.
Can I mute the audio?
No.
Oh, no. It's a true punishment.
How would you know what was going on in the story, Mike?
I can't deal with it. Okay. on that note then, Adam, if I had to reward you with a game, I'm gonna make you finish Chrono Trigger.
Okay.
And you're gonna enjoy every second of it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
And David would be rewarded with Final Fantasy VI, the other greatest game ever made.
No,
so you would find out
so much,
and it'd be so worth it.
No,
it's just a rich experience, and you'll come away a better person.
I think Mike didn't understand the question.
No, because there are punishments here.
Okay,
if I had to punish, I would say that Adam, you'd have to play Superman for the N64.
Oh, no.
Which is just gonna be an eternity of flying through rings in
this
a very
so brutal
low polygon.
It's so foggy.
Oh man.
And it's so dumb. Just fly through tons of rings all the time. Like when did Superman ever fly through a ring? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He never did.
Yeah.
I'd wager.
David.
Yeah.
I had trouble picking. Uh-huh. Because there are so many awful games on the Philips CDI.
Oh. Gosh.
But I went ahead and just the entire Zelda series on the Philips CDI.
Nice.
That's amazing. Oh gosh. If you haven't ever watched the YouTube of the cutscenes from the Philips CD-i Legend of Zelda games.
Oh man, they are amazing.
Well, you need to go look
at those. I actually would probably enjoy that.
They are so funny.
Well, you would enjoy the cutscenes, but I think the rest game that you had to play through would be not so enjoyable.
Fair enough.
Yeah, what's the guy's name? The angry gamer?
Oh, yeah. I think that's it, isn't it?
Cinemassacre is the channel, I think. And
Angry Video Game Nerd, I'm sorry.
Angry Video Game Nerd played that, and oh my gosh. You get such a great look at how terrible the games they were, and how wonderfully awful the cutscenes are. So
we'll post a YouTube video or something when the episode posts.
So I'm not going to lie, guys. I didn't have time to think about this question in advance.
Okay, just wing it.
So I'm just going to wing it here. Adam, I would reward you... by wiping your memory and having you play The Witness again.
Oh man, that would be amazing. You know, on that note, I gotta say, if I just wait a little while, I'm gonna forget everything about those puzzles because I will still remember probably a lot of the rules, but actually solving them, there's no way you could remember all that. It's like hundreds and hundreds of puzzles. So,
all right, I could definitely play that again. Basically realistic then.
Yeah, there you go. I'll do it. And then, I accept.
Okay. And then I would punish you by making you play basically anything on the Virtual Boy.
My eyes.
That's like a physical punishment. Yeah.
It really is.
The Virtual Boy.
Mike, I would reward you, let's see here, by helping you play a little more of The Division, I think.
Ooh, there you go.
Or maybe even Destiny.
I think... I think someone is owed a slap at this point.
No, I just said the name, The Division.
Because I can't respond to it without talking about it.
No, you don't have to talk about it. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. we're masterfully teasing this segment.
I feel like we're bending the rules a little bit here.
Nah. So reward you with The Division or maybe Destiny and punish you by making you play Sonic 1 through 3.
Ooh. Diabolical.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah, don't be wrong. I wouldn't be thrilled to play through Sonic 1 through 3 again, but there are far worse Sonic games you could have picked. So I'll just go ahead and count my blessings.
I don't know any of those.
That's true. You could have picked the one where Sonic turns into like a werewolf or whatever.
But I don't know that one's name, so I couldn't pick it off the top of my head.
Yeah. So all right, next question comes from Loco Coco Pops.
Ooh.
This is. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So he says, who's the hardest working character in games? For me, it's the guy who has to use the push bike in Trials. He pedals so hard. What do you guys think?
Good.
I want to say the janitor in Resident Evil. Anyone know what I'm talking about?
No, it's not ringing a bell.
In the first Resident Evil game, if you kill a zombie, leave the room and come back, that zombie is gone.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So whoever's the janitor of that mansion. Yeah, we called him the janitor.
We used to always talk about the janitor, how he just, he's so good. He swept through here.
He left the room and then forgot something, came right back, and he's already done cleaning that zombie mess. The janitor's the hardest working character in games.
That's pretty good. What do you think, Mike?
Maybe Nathan Drake?
Okay.
And because if you've played through that series, and if you haven't, you won't know what I'm talking about until you get to Uncharted 4, but... I don't know anyone who is that kind of climbing strength. So that dude has to work it. I'm sure he's got to be the most rigorous member of the climbing community.
And then his heists always go wrong. You know,
so
not
a great heister.
Yeah.
No,
so he works extra hard to finish all to get all these ancient artifacts because there's always a villain trying to get them before him. So yeah, you're right. He does work pretty hard.
It's true. Yeah. So true. So, I had a hard time picking on this one. So at first, my instinct was Mario. Right?
Yeah, me too.
He's been in the business for, ever since, 1981, Donkey
he's
Kong?
He's always going into pipes,
Yeah, he's been working. And he's a plumber. And we all know he's been plumbing, for 35 years.
Yeah, at least.
And so I was thinking Mario. And then I was thinking, well, maybe the entire cast from Dust Force. All they do is
that's
sweep.
That's true,
All they do is sweep up leaves and dirt all day long. But then I ended up having to settle on Little Mac from Punch-Out.
Oh, wow.
Because even though Doc makes him wear a bright pink jogging suit to humiliate him, he keeps training as hard as possible to be able to fight and beat guys who are obviously like three times his weight and size.
Why so, is he even fighting them?
He's fighting guys that are clearly far out of his weight class.
I mean, and you have to figure, who is it? Like Glass Joe, the very first, the easiest character you can fight in that game,
yeah,
is like twice your height.
He's still, yeah, even that guy's a monster. I mean, that, next
that,
to Little Man.
That guy should, just on reach alone, should not have been a fair fight.
Yeah. And then let alone guys who are using like voodoo magic and like who are literally three times as tall as you and like ripped out of their minds.
And then Mike Tyson, like, don't forget he has to fight Mike Tyson
who can move faster than the speed of light. There's just like a quick flash and then he's punched you already. It's like, yeah, Little Mac, he's got to be the hardest working. So there you
I
have
agree.
It.
That's a good one.
Forrest writes in, he says, would you guys rather eat pizza or a finished copy of Uncharted 4?
Oh no.
I mean, I don't want to eat.
I mean, he later wrote in and clarified, play a finished copy of Uncharted 4.
Oh man, I didn't even catch that.
I'd almost want to eat the finished copy of Uncharted 4 on YouTube, just like while everyone's like, no, I want to play it. And you're just like chewing it slowly while staring into the camera.
Why?
But I guess my answer has to be, I would gladly forego a pizza dinner to play Uncharted right now.
So. Yeah. Well, is this for all time?
Thank you, Dave. This is my question. Like, do I get to just play it for an evening and then I have to give it back, or is
and
this
also,
like mine?
Do I have
to
give up pizza for all time?
I wouldn't think so. That's just unreasonable.
Okay.
Because if it's like I get to play Uncharted once, like maybe for like an hour, or eat a pizza, like I'm just gonna go and eat the pizza. Like I'll play Uncharted when it comes out. It's fine.
I agree.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and I'm not making any deals like lifetime bans on pizza. That's insane.
Okay, yeah, then I would definitely rather play a finished copy of Uncharted 4. I assumed the question was, would you rather be able to eat pizza or be able to play Uncharted 4 right now? That's how I interpreted it. And if that was the case, I would rather be able to eat pizza.
Here's the twist on the question. Okay. I would gladly forego the eating of pizza for the entire duration of the game if I could play it right now.
Yeah, but then I just play it in like one or two sittings.
Yeah, I would play it over like a week or two, and then there you go. Then it's back to pizza and loving life.
Back to pizza.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Yeah, there you have it.
Just Man writes in, not Just Illa, not to be confused with Just Illa. Just Man.
All right.
Writes, honestly, I couldn't stand Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh boy.
Although I played on PS3 and was late to the party. Are there any popular games that you didn't like?
No, never. I liked them all.
Anything people tell me is good, I love.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've got an answer for this question.
What is it?
I didn't like Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, yeah.
I know people soured on that.
Of people soured on it after the fact, yeah, but you soured while playing it.
Yeah, I just got really bored and I just never finished it.
No, I get it. I remember finishing the game and like loving it and then completely finishing it and then like maybe a couple months later, I didn't have that many games for my PS3, so I popped it back in and tried playing it again. I was like, actually, I don't really like this game that much. I think I was just so hyped up about a new PS3 and the new Metal Gear.
Yeah, my first PS3 game. So yeah, because I bought it the day Metal Gear came out, and then I played it, and I was just like on cloud nine the whole time. Now I haven't gone back to try to play it again. I can't say it's my favorite of the series, but I liked it.
You like it, okay?
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it. I loved that, like the tailing section. It was very cloak and dagger.
I don't think I got that far.
Oh, the only thing is, after that scene, there's like a terrible motorcycle chase scene where you have to. It loads like you because they didn't bother to like build a new like sub engine for a motorcycle chase to occur in that environment. It you will do this chase scene and you race through like a few blocks and that's one area and then it has to load the next section of the chase, and this happens like every probably 1 to 2 minutes.
Oh gosh, no. you are way overestimating it. It is much closer, probably like 30 seconds or less.
It might be 30 seconds. Every 30 seconds it has to load and you're like, come on.
And I don't know if you remember this about Metal Gear Solid 4, but those load times were no joke.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and it had to install three different times. You remember that?
Wow.
Because you play Act 1, and then it uninstalls everything that it was there and installs the next hunk of game.
Oh, my gosh. This is terrible.
Yeah, and each one of those installs takes, like, 20 minutes.
It takes forever. And you have to watch Snake sitting there smoking. Now, that's enough Metal Gear Solid 4, though. I think... What's your answer, Mike?
No, not Metal Gear Solid 4. It was 4. Never mind. I don't know what's wrong with my brain.
So yeah, something that probably immediately clicks, especially with all my friends, is Destiny. I mean, it was okay. I didn't really like it that much.
You didn't
but
play it.
I did play it.
You played the beta.
I played it.
That does not count. I'm sorry. Game. I forfeit your answer. I reject your answer, Mike.
You're disqualified, Mike.
Fine.
I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
His hands are tied, Mike.
So
I reject
it. I've talked about this before, and I know it will make people just lose their minds, but I was not blown away by Super Metroid.
Oh, man.
What?
And
wait, hold on. Have we ever talked about this before?
Man.
Yeah, we talked about it before.
I must have blocked this out in just sheer rage, because it's not possible.
Exactly. This will enrage probably plenty of people, and that's
enraged.
Okay. And that is okay, because I realize I'm in the very small minority here, but I played it years and years and years later. I played it maybe last year or the year before.
Oh my gosh.
Because I didn't own a SNES back in the day, you know? So yeah. Everyone, I remember hearing on different podcasts, different, you know, shows, people always listing it in their top games of all time and stuff. So
I wouldn't go that far.
I went into Super Metroid with crazy high expectations, and I started playing it, and don't get me wrong, I understand its importance, you know, at the time it came out, and like why so many people played it back in the day and loved it, because, you know, at the time there's nothing like it or very little like it. But then, you know, having played it and going back, kind of like what Jessman's talking about here, how he went back and played Shadow of the Colossus years later when it was re-released on PS3. You know, I played it, and I just, my expectations, like, you know, like his probably were just so high from all the talk, and the story didn't grab me, and the gameplay was fun. It was very solid gameplay. There's nothing to dispute there. But like, it was just not like, I just was
I'm
not
like choking
blown
on my
away.
Own words here. I don't yeah, know I, even what to say.
I was just not blown away by it. And like on an earlier podcast, I said, honestly, I like Guacamelee better than Super Metroid.
Well, I mean,
like,
oh boy.
That's fine. Like, I'm with you there. I've twice platinumed Guacamelee. It is a solid piece of
it's
art.
It's a fantastic game.
But man, I mean, I don't even know.
I know, Mike. This is why
I'm
this
going
is my answer.
To slap you in the mouth tomorrow morning.
This is why you should go back in time, Adam, and buy a Super Nintendo.
I know. I'm sure it probably would have been one of my favorite games of all time if I played it in the moment.
It's
at the
still
time.
Good.
But yeah, no, I don't dispute that it's good. I think it's
the
a
mechanics
good game.
Are all solid. Everything's there.
Yeah, I think it's a
no
good
story,
game. But
really.
It didn't. It just didn't grab me. I didn't get invested, and I didn't like fall in love with it like I was expecting to. So I was like a letdown. So there you have it.
I actually kind of forgive you, Adam. I was really mad, but you made a solid case. So
I'm actually mad at both of you now. No excuses for him.
Well, the good news is you can never slap me. So
don't
right.
say that.
And then and our buddy Jeremy writes in with a game recommendation. He says, "Sup, dudes," with a lot of O's. There's a lot of O's. And he says, "Is anyone playing Salt and Sanctuary on PS4?
Nope.
Lots of Dark Souls style fun and couch co-op. Laters."
Yeah, so, not yet, but after I saw that tweet, I went and YouTubed it, and man, that game looks amazing.
It looks really good. So if you're not familiar, it's a really cool looking 2D RPG / Metroidvania style game, mashed up with kind of like Souls-like difficulty. So yeah, it looks really fun though. So,
but the part listen about this guy it, over here, like, oh, I love all these games. It's about a Metroid, just not Metroid.
Exactly. I don't know what it is.
The yeah. part about it that I don't like is that it's like Dark Souls in its crushing difficulty. Because, you know, in the same vein that I'm not like super smart, I'm also like kind of bad at video games too, in general.
Gosh.
What are you doing on this podcast?
I don't know. You guys asked me and I was like, sure, why not?
Sounds like fun, guys. I don't like video games. Not good at them.
I mean, I love staying up until 2 a.m. on a work night. and all that fun stuff. But yeah, anyway. So I'm bad at video games and I'm dumb. And so Dark Souls games and The Witness don't really appeal to me, I think.
Oh, there you go. So, well, to each his own. You know, yeah, not everyone's going to love every kind of game.
No, Adam, to each my own. You have to like...
To each David's own.
You have to like what I like, and that's it.
All right. Audible is offering the listeners of this podcast a free audiobook of their choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/SBFVGS and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free. Start listening. Fun and easy and good to do.
Good to do.
So I'm going back, guys. I'm going back.
Going back?
To Ready Player One.
Again? Recommending, again?
Yeah, again and again. I will keep plugging this book until everyone has read it or listened to it.
I'm going to wait for the movie.
So, Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. Hop on Audible and get it for free because that book is amazing. I loved it.
Adam, I don't want to spoil the movie.
Well, no, you'll love this, and then enough time will go by that you're just like itching to see the movie when it comes out.
I don't think there's
enough
time.
See, that's
why
I'm already itching. So, there you go. I'm itching all over.
Itching.
You don't even want to know, David.
Okay. Well, you're right. I don't want to know, but...
So, yeah. So anyway, it's a fantastic book for fans of the sci-fi, the video games, or even just 80s pop culture in general. So there you go.
There you go. Check out. Sorry to derail your book recommendation, by the way.
Yeah, you're a jerk.
I'm sure you could... I'm sure there's an audiobook of Jurassic Park on there. Like, that movie's long been out, and you can now read the book and not worry about spoilers. So, although that book is nothing like the movie, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff they took from, you know, for the screenplay, but there's so much stuff. There's a lot of really cool scenes that are not in the movie. But
yeah,
forget all that. It's all about Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. You can check that out on audibletrial.com/SPFVGS. That's audibletrial.com/SPFVGS. There was madness in any direction.
Love how you were like, forget about all that.
So, topic.
Oh, topic times.
Meat and potato time.
Meat and potato. So, guys, it's my turn to do a topic.
Yay!
And my topic is like super easy, and it is, guys, why is The Division so good?
Why is The Division so awesome?
Well, I think the short answer is because it's not that great, but...
Well, you know, I had a feeling that was going to be your response, so I decided to get some cold, hard facts to go with why it's so good.
I'm so glad.
Good. I'm glad we have facts to back up.
I'm glad we stopped talking about Destiny nonstop just in time for The Division to come out.
So, Mike, in case you were doubting The Division being awesome, I will go ahead and say that The Division has sold more copies now in the first 5 days than Destiny did in its first 5 days.
Yeah, I mean...
So that is definitive proof that The Division is a good game.
I would say that it's definitive proof that all the people that were playing Destiny are now playing this game. Because it's the same game, but...
I wonder what those stats look like over at Bungie, you know? They probably see, like, this massive dip in the player base.
Oh, yeah. Well, you notice the week that The Division came out, they announced, finally, their spring content.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming.
Like, don't forget about us, guys.
Guys, we have some of these things coming, too. I don't know what voice that was. It was kind of the narwhal.
Because,
buddy, I hope you find your dad. It's kind of the narwhal from Elf.
Excellent.
It's good. I've played a bunch of it. I think I'm level 19 right now.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. You're a madman.
Out of 30. It's fun. It's open world. It is. There are some Destiny-esque things, but actually, I would less say they're Destiny-esque, and I would say they're more MMO-esque.
Yeah.
Because basically, Destiny has like some MMO hooks in it, and Division is doing that too. So, I mean, I think
shocking.
I feel like it's a little bit silly to credit Destiny with something that, you know, MMOs have been doing for 10 years.
That's very true.
So
there, I mean, it is a new genre, and we're going to keep seeing more and more of these games. It's a blending of the action shooter genres, you know, and MMOs. And so obviously people are interested in seeing more of this and how it develops. First off, I got to say special thanks to Mikey, our pal.
Oh, yeah, Mikey.
Chill with the PS4 for hooking it up, because otherwise me and Mike probably would not have gotten to play it at all. So thank you, Mikey. Yeah. You are the man.
Yes,
and
thank you very much.
I went ahead and bought my own copy just because I wanted to be able to play with Adam and or Mike.
Yeah.
So, because otherwise, you know, we wouldn't have been able to do that. So, yeah, and Adam and I actually got to play a little bit a couple nights ago.
Yeah, so I've only played it that once outside of the beta. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we played from just like the tutorials area to the first mission or two of the, you know, Manhattan. And mm-hmm. I got to level 5. I felt very good about myself. I accomplished a lot. I was starting to get enticed by the loot game a little bit. I was like, oh, I got some better gloves and oh, I can loot this backpack. And, oh my goodness. Look at my stats going up.
I got some trendy skinny jeans.
So there were some pretty, I mean, it's definitely that loot game, you know, go around questing basically, for lack of a better term. But, you know, I kind of want to still compare it to Destiny in a certain way here, because
it's the same game. Yes, go ahead.
Well,
it's not at all, Mike.
It's not at all. But like, as far as just the world, right? So Destiny had this universe that looked a lot like a Mass Effect type thing. And when it wasn't that deep as like a Mass Effect universe, I was a little bummed out by that.
Well, first of all, you are a little bit mistaken that it's not as deep as the Mass Effect universe.
Oh, here we go.
There is so much lore to Destiny that you probably don't even know.
That doesn't exist in the game, so you couldn't know about it? Yeah, that...
So,
it
yeah,
does
I'm talking
exist,
about,
yes. But
like,
anyway.
I digress from that. But so, basically, all that to say, I love the world of The Division. It's like...
I agree, yeah.
I love... you know, running around snowed in New York, you know, that's kind of post-apocalyptic looking in certain ways, because there's like garbage piled up everywhere because the city has been shut down essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a gorgeous game just to look at. I mean, just running around, even on PS4, I know it, like the PC version, it looks even better. But PS4, it looks fantastic. And then I just prefer, personally, I prefer third person, you know, shooters to first person shooters in general.
Hmm.
And so this is really cool for me, because it's like that, that MMO shooter feel, but it's like, you know, it's third person. I'm into it.
Yeah.
So
no, that's really cool. I actually didn't even consider that maybe some people might prefer the third person perspective. And it does make the game different for sure.
Yeah.
You know, you can see around corners a little better. You know, all these things. So one thing that a lot of people don't like about The Division, that I've been talking to, is they don't like that the enemies can sometimes take tons of bullets. And you know, it's funny, because you know, it's true. Like, if the game were realistic, and in some ways it is, like visually it's pretty realistic,
mm-hmm.
but like, you know, one or two shots to the head is going to end it, you know, like. But in this game, you can unload 2 full clips at someone's head and they're still alive and fighting you.
Yeah.
But it's funny, because when I was playing the game, before I ever talked to anyone, I was like, that did not even occur to me that, you know, oh, this is unrealistic. I'm shooting, you know, full clips at these guys and they're not dying. I was just having fun. And I think the reason is because I knew going into it, like, to expect an RPG, not just a shooter. And, you know, like most RPGs, like if you're playing Dragon Age, you are like doing damage, but you're not like, I mean, you're running up to people with a sword and hitting them like, you know, 50 times and then they
right.
finally die, you know, which is
yeah,
equally
unrealistic.
Yeah,
and you see the little numbers.
Yeah.
You see the numbers popping up. And yeah, you're doing more damage when you're doing headshots, but you're still whittling away at that overall number, the hit point stat, you know?
Yeah, it is equally as unrealistic to hit someone with a sword and they don't die as it is to shoot them in the head and they don't die.
To be fair, that universe also has, like, you know, magic. So
sure.
You
yeah,
can just
sure.
anything that doesn't make sense, you just blame it on magic. Destiny
yeah,
doesn't have that. So I mean,
yeah, actually, Destiny does have that. It's called space magic, and that's
space
not a joke.
Magic.
It's a real thing. They call it space
magic.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I meant The Division, because of the same game. I keep confusing them.
And The Division has armor, which is their version of magic.
I knew Mike was poised to not like this game.
Of course, because he likes anything that's good. Or he dislikes anything that's good.
No, you had it right the first time, my friend.
I think you had it.
No, he dislikes, because he doesn't like The Division, Adam. So, of course, he doesn't like everything, anything that's good. So,
yeah, so, I mean, basically, to get back to the world, you know, mm-hmm. I find the world really engaging, and just like the idea of going around and accomplishing these missions in order to like build up my base and reestablish order and control in the city. That, I don't know, for some reason, I know I talked about it during the beta, but that's really satisfying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had that same kind of feeling about the gameplay loop of Destiny. I was leveling up, but I didn't feel like I was accomplishing much as I was going through. And maybe that's kind of
the
difference.
True. The world doesn't really change a whole lot around you in Destiny when you went and liberated these people, but then you don't see them anywhere in the tower, or, and also like 70 other people are showing up in your world doing the same thing while you're doing it, which makes you feel less important. Yeah, that all makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So I get that. But however, I would like to hear more about what Mike so far doesn't like about the game, having only played about a little bit of it.
Well, like 6 hours, only about, right? A little bit. Yeah, somewhere around like 6 hours, I think.
I mean, I've probably played at least 20 to 25 hours now at this point.
So there's a few things. One, it's really interesting for me to hear Adam talk about how much like you enjoy the world, because I find that world like devoid of anything actually going on.
What?
Like, okay, so there's like some semblance of a story, but you're cut loose into like Manhattan pretty early on, and you can run for like blocks and blocks in every direction, and like the city is empty. There's nothing happening.
What game are you playing, Mike?
I mean, it is true, as you're running to your missions, especially the far off ones, it's like you're just running through these kind of empty streets.
But that's not true.
It doesn't make sense with the story, though.
I ran down streets that, you know, heading to different missions, and like didn't run into anybody.
Literally every time I'm running from one mission to another, I run into a patch of enemies that I'm going to have to fight. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
In my six hours, that never happened to me. Like out of the tutorial, I would go to missions and like not see a soul until like,
or there'll be like one or two people like hanging out on the street.
Well, there'll be some areas that have scripted fights in them. Like there'll be, you know, a couple of like police officers and help them out. But then they leave, and like, I'll never see any of that happen ever again.
Well, I'm just going to tell you this, Mike. Literally every time I'm running around from one mission to the other, I run into groups of enemies and, you know, NPCs like that need help, which is kind of funny, because they're like, hey, I really need a soda. And then you give them a soda and they drop some pants for you.
Yeah,
you know, not their pants, but they just drop you some pants.
Some people do anything for a soda.
Anyway, it's a very funny concept. And I accidentally said it in a slightly suggestive way.
I never ran into any, like, I mean, I saw some citizens like fighting over food and things like that, but then as soon as I'd walk up, they would just run off and that would be it.
That is so,
the game felt very empty. And heading back to your home base, I made me kind of detest the leveling like for that system, because it's like, oh, okay, like I did some missions, but now if I want to level up, I gotta go back to my base and I have to walk to the appropriate wing of this building and check in on the laptop in order to do the upgrade stuff. Like that's kind of dumb.
I don't know. A lot of games do that. Like in Tomb Raider, it was the campfires, or
Fable 3, it was the pause menu that you had to like walk around in, which was kind of a weird idea.
Yeah, it is a weird idea. But so with like Tomb Raider,
Peter Molyneux, that was a great idea.
Tomb Raider is not a fair comparison, because you run into like you find these campfires as you progress through the game. So they're just there along the way. It's not like you have to just keep going back to a central location to keep doing that. And then,
well, you can fast travel to that location.
You can.
Yeah.
Granted.
But Tomb Raider also is not a full open world game. For it to be a linear game and have it in your path.
Apparently,
as a
my experience differs from David, because when I think open world, I think a world that has things like happening in it and not just like
city
streets.
So, like, Dragon Age is open world, okay? What exactly happened when you're running around?
Like, there's, like, enemies and straight-up dragons. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So, so basically, other than the dragons, it's exactly like the Division's open world.
No, there's definitely enemies, like, all over the place. Like, every five steps, there's enemies.
And there are in the Division, too. I think you need to play more, Mike. I don't know what game you were playing, but it's not my experience from the Division.
I decided to start reading some articles online, like from IGN, to see if it was just me. And apparently it's not just me, which is why that game got like a 6.7, because they said the same thing. The world is devoid of anything
also,
happening in
I'll,
it.
Here's something else that baffles me about the reviews, is that it seems like every platform, every publication had like put someone that didn't like MMOs on the review, which is like silly to me. It's kind of like how IGN put someone that loved Dota 2 on the Heroes of the Storm review, because Dota 2, like Heroes of the Storm, is like trying to be the anti Dota 2. So why put someone that loves Dota 2 on the review for a game that's trying to not be, like, intentionally not be Dota 2? That's silly to me.
I'm just saying, reading the article, like every complaint he had, I completely agreed with. I was kind of like, yeah, that those are exactly my problems with this game. And maybe,
well, I'll have to read that. I haven't read this yet.
And maybe part of that is just because of the way I play games, because I usually play really late in the evening. I don't end up playing games co-op with very many people.
And that's feel a like, big problem.
And I feel that like this exactly, game is really exactly, devoid of things like, happening, because it was designed in mind that you're going to just co-op it with people. And that's going to make up for there not being, you know, quite so much story or quite so many things actually happening around you.
Yeah, so exactly, I think, the right point to make there. Because really, it is designed for co-op in mind. And the same that Destiny was, you know. So as you're, you know, when you're going through these kind of like downtimes, quote unquote, as you're kind of like traipsing across town to the next mission, when you're with your pals, it's kind of like a welcome break. As opposed to like when you're alone, you're like, well, come on, you know, like, so, you know, as like David and I were co-oping the other night, it was just like, oh yeah, we're just shooting the breeze while we run across town. And we're talking about this and that and about, you know, or just like discussing the environment and
jacks.
Stuff. Doing jumping jacks.
Getting swole.
And so, yeah, there was like, I don't know, it was like this welcome pacing low point while we're, you know, in those kind of more empty moments. So I didn't mind it with people, but
yeah, that's a pretty good observation that I didn't know.
Thank you. Yeah. But I haven't played it solo yet, except for the beta. And I, you know, it made sense why I kind of came out of the beta a little more lukewarm.
I see.
And in same with like, you know, I played a bunch of Destiny. I think I played the first maybe third of Destiny with you and Nick and Eric and, you know, pals. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I didn't get a chance to play for a couple weeks. And then by that point, everyone was like level, you know, 500. Yeah. And so it was like, it's like I'm dragging everyone down. So maybe I'll just play by myself a little bit, get leveled up. And I ended up playing through the rest of the campaign solo. And all that to say, I definitely did not enjoy the last two thirds of that game nearly as much playing it solo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is definitely, I mean, if you're going to play the Division, definitely play with people. It's not one to play solo, I don't think.
Yeah. I 100% understand why Mike doesn't like the Division.
I don't think you 100% get it, but I
don't like the Division when I'm by myself either.
100%.
Almost 100% of the time play the Division with friends. Or at least people in general. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, there are a lot of lovely people that listen to this podcast that I'm sure would love to play this game with you.
Yeah. They love you, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, granted.
Maybe you should open up that cold heart of yours to some to some people. One last thing to throw in the wrench. To throw in a wrench into... I can't speak English anymore. we haven't talked about the Dark Zone, which I guess I'm the only one...
I wanted to ask you about that, because I've only just barely dipped my toe into the Dark Zone. And I know that Ubisoft is known for kind of innovative remixes on traditional, you know, multiplayer, like Watch Dogs or Assassin's Creed does. Or I was interested. What did you think? Because I have coworkers who are just like, they're nuts about the Dark Zone. That's all they do.
It's pretty fun. First of all, it's probably all they do because they've probably beaten the game and... once you get to like level 30 or so, you've finished all the missions. And that's basically what's left is the Dark Zone.
Yeah.
It's kind of their version of the end game. And honestly, I do feel like that might not be enough. We'll see when I get to 30.
Okay.
So it's pretty fun though. That said, if you have some fun people that you play with, which I do,
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, no problem. You can get a group of like four people together.
Thank you.
Hey, no, you know what? Anytime. Not Mike though, because Mike doesn't like the game. But you and me, we're bros. No,
here's
for life.
Here's the thing. I'm just saying, as you start to get into this,
yeah,
the Dark Zone. Now, if the whole game had kind of been like that, I probably would be into it.
Interesting. Jinx.
Because every time I talk to anybody who's really enjoying this game,
Omi Coke.
And
no, yeah, no, you can't talk until I say your name.
We just became best friends, didn't we?
Anyone I've ever talked to when they talk about the Dark Zone is kind of like, there's something going on every minute. There's all this tension. There's all this excitement.
It's very unpredictable, which is really fun.
So I feel like,
people going rogue.
I don't know if there's missions to do in there but I feel like if there were missions, like instance missions.
No.
If there were, and if all the areas like in between missions in your home base were like this, you know, dangerous area, like the New York of this game is supposed to be, I feel like this game would be really enjoyable.
That's a cool idea. Maybe they'll do that for Division 2, because there definitely will be a Division 2. but anyway, let's finish describing the Dark Zone for those listeners at home, the intrepid listeners that have made it this far.
Yeah.
You go into the Dark Zone with a bunch of friends, or you can go alone if you're feeling particularly gutsy. And the goal is to go in there and kill NPCs in that region, which are super tough, and you definitely need friends with you to like, you know, take on a large number of them. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to these areas and you kill all the bad guys, they'll drop really, really cool loot. But then you don't get that loot yet. It's not over. You have to go to an extraction zone and have that item extracted, which will clean it basically and put it in your inventory. And so the extraction zone is you like set off a flare and then a countdown for I think it's either 2 minutes or 3 minutes starts, and it alerts everyone in your Dark Zone. And so you can have like particularly nefarious players like kind of sneak up and like take out your group if you're not you know, careful, or they can sneak up and then help you, which that's happened too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just super unpredictable.
It reminds me of the tension while in BioShock 2 when you are guarding a little sister while all the splicers are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, and that was some of my favorite some of the favorite parts of that game for me. Like, it's just there's so much tension there. So
yeah. So it'll be fun to see where the game goes. And I'm fine with it being the kind of game where I play it really intensely for a little while. Set it aside for a while, come back to it for a while.
Yeah.
Kind of like Destiny is. So
I like Destiny.
I really like that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Now that I've gotten a little distance from playing Tomb Raider, I'm not having those crazy Tomb Raider control issues where I kept trying to hit circle to like roll out of the way of gunfire, and then it would just like run out in the middle of the firefight like an idiot and get gunned down. And so I'm not having those issues anymore. I've actually gotten used to the cover system, and I really like it, but it was I remember in the beta and it was driving me crazy because I was like neck deep in Rise of the Tomb Raider at the time.
The controls are very unique to the Division.
Yeah, I like it.
Anyway, overall I'm loving the Division. I'm sure I'll give it a rating once I'm done playing it. But
yeah, for me, like right now, I'm thinking I'm going to, you know, I'm not that guy who just grinds and grinds away in the multiplayer. So I'll probably, you know, I'm really interested to see kind of where the story missions go and play all those and do some Dark Zone. But, you know, I'm always in it more for the story missions. So,
yeah, cool.
So, yeah, excited.
Excited times. Mike hates it. That's fine. I love you anyway. And that's my topic, guys.
All right.
Good stuff.
Okay. End of the show plugs for men.
For mans.
Check out the all new SBFVGS.com.
Yeah, it's all new.
I know.
That's right, folks. It's been totally revamped, sbfvgs.com. It's basically the blog, you know, as it was, is gone. And now it's sbfvgs.com, the new and improved. So
yeah, and notice it's not WordPress dot something dot something. It's sbfvgs.com.
Indeed, very impressive. Very official.
Yeah.
Go to sbfvgs.com, and that's where we will be posting episode info and links, as well as
and
Mike's
YouTube
new
videos.
Yeah, and as well as Mike's new recurring feature, The Hunt.
When he remembers features, to post it.
When he remembers to post it, which features trophy talk and such. And then, like David said, we'll be sharing our YouTube videos and other content there. I'm kicking around the idea of maybe doing some burrito ratings and just short and sweet reviews. You know, nothing.
That's a good
idea.
We should do that. Crazy. And pizza ratings.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and also, you know, speaking of YouTube, you can check out our channel at bit.ly/sbfvgsyt. And you can check out our shirts and other merchandise at cafepress.com/sbfvgs. You can also support the show for free by leaving a glowing iTunes review. A 5-star review on there actually helps people find the show. And so that is awesome. That's a huge way you can help out. Or you can sign up for a free audiobook, as we mentioned, on audibletrial.com/sbfvgs. Give us some, that just gives us a little kickback. We get a little kickback, full disclosure. We don't just love audiobooks that much. We do love them, but this is a way you can support the show. So anyway, special thanks to Eric Kruger for our podcast logo and for his handsome face, by the way.
Yeah, thank you for your handsome face, Eric.
You can find us on facebook.com/sbfvgs and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at sbfvgspodcast. Individually on Twitter, I'm Barry White, BURYWITE. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate. You can friend us on PSN under those same names, except for Mike, who is Taco_Douglas. Mm-hmm. And make sure to join the Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover PS4 community so we can all chat there and play some games. So, good times. That's all the plugs I have. Do you guys have any plugs?
No more plugs.
No, I watched Daredevil.
Wait, yes. Yeah, Daredevil Season 2 is out now. So go watch it. So,
I'm trying to, but you guys won't finish wrapping it up.
All right. That's all the time we have for Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover episode 39. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back every 2 weeks with more unequivocally correct talk on gaming. Hit us up on Twitter or Facebook with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Was that the AOL guy?
I don't know. Was it?
Goodbye.
They're like, hey, I really need a soda. And then you give them a soda and they drop some pants for you.
Yeah.
You know, not their pants, but they just drop you some pants.
Some people do anything for a soda.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.